I am so excited for this episode. We were blessed to have the lovely Angus Wolf on today. He embodies that healing masculine, you know, that that healthy masculine energy. We're working towards healing and breaking down all of these old patterns and narratives that no longer serve us. You know, I'm just really excited for you guys to listen today. I feel like as we go on this journey of spirituality, it can seem sometimes like a feminine thing, or it's all these girls doing their women's circles and women this, women that. But I think it's really important to remember that this healing is not just for women, not just for the feminine. You know, the masculine and the men can embody this feminine as well, and it can be empowering, it can be strong, it can be brave and courageous. And I'm so grateful that, you know, I was able to sit down with Angus and hear a little bit about his story and how he's healing that, I don't know if necessarily toxic masculinity would be the word, but I know we've definitely gone through some shit and nobody's perfect, but we all deserve to heal. We all deserve to be seen, loved, accepted. Doesn't matter who we are. So I really, really hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And if you want to touch base with myself or Angus, you can find the links to reach out in the show notes. All right. I love you guys so much. Enjoy. This is the Celestial Goddess Podcast. Let's grow and show up with more compassion. I love you. Hello, everyone. Happy summer. Welcome to the Celestial Goddess Podcast. My name is Corinne, and I have some amazing, powerful souls with me today. The famous Angus Wolf.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, thank you for being here. And then we are also blessed with the lovely presence of Maya and Paula. I know you guys are familiar with them. We've had an episode previously with both of them and, you know, other separate episodes with Maya. So, you know, the family's growing. The tribe is growing. So thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Corinne.
Thank you, guys. So, as all of you may know, I feel like more than half of our listeners are female. And so I think it's really special we have Angus here today because he stands in that healthy masculinity. He is a part of a group called Sacred Sons. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, for sure. So I went on my first Sacred Sons retreat, which that's what Sacred Sons is about bringing in that healthy masculinity and having retreats, like, you know, teaching men how to be able to communicate, how to break those walls down. It's a lot of emotional shadow work and, you know, a lot of eye contact for, you know, because there is some men that aren't comfortable with eye contact. And like I said, just really breaking those walls down. And then on other days on the retreats, we bring in the masculine side where it's hiking to waterfalls or mountain climbing, grappling and fighting pits, throwing axes and knives. And so it's a really good mix of everything. And I went on my first retreat in January with them. And while I was down there, one of the co-founders, Adam Jackson, and another one of the leaders, colleague, pulled me aside and asked me personally to start doing their training with them and become one of their retreat facilitators. So I am in my second phase of training right now. I have one more after this, and then I'll be a full-blown facilitator with them. And yeah, I've done San Diego twice, Maui once with them. Colorado's coming up next in August. Going to start working with their youth program and doing training for that. So yeah, it's been a really good deal for me for sure. And I mean, a good deal for everyone in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And helping all the men out there. Cause I feel like men, you know, the masculine energy needs a voice. And I feel like sometimes, at least what I've experienced with you know, sending love to the men in my family, but I've seen a lot of pain and a lot of anger and violence and just so much anger, you know? So how do you work through that? How do you facilitate a space for a man to break through that anger and violence and pain?
That's still something that's pretty foreign to me. I'm still learning how to work my way through it and find the best way. Definitely a lot better now than I was even a year ago, for sure. But, you know, I have that same mindset for almost my entire life that a lot of men have, because it's what we believe. It's what we're taught by society, that to be a man, you don't show emotion about anything. And I feel like I kind of took that to the extreme where I kept everything in, you know, good, bad, indifferent. I didn't show emotion about anything, you know, and it basically made me a ticking time bomb. I like to explain it like it's like when you shake a soda up, eventually that pressure's got to be released somehow. Mm. And for me, that pressure was, and I was mean, I was angry, I was violent. And especially in my early 20s, I mean, I've had people try to stab me. I've had guns put to my head multiple times. Because of the things that I was doing, some of the people that I ran around with. And, you know, the scary thing looking back at it is, even with a gun literally on my head, I still was thinking to myself, pull the trigger, you know, because, and it brought me to a point where I was suicidal for a period of my life too, because inside I was screaming for help, putting this fake wall up and not knowing that there was anybody that I could reach out to, thinking that it would make me weak to reach out for help. That I would be made fun of to tell people that these things were going on in my mind. And so anyway, yeah, when I was, I think, 27, I started getting help with my mental health. And even that opened up a lot of doors for me right there. I started taking what I was learning by getting help on my mental health and going around to local high schools and telling my story to these high school students, because I figure if, you know, somebody would have gotten a hold of me when I was 14, 15 and could have seen some of these things going on, there's a good chance that I wouldn't have got to go through a lot of the stuff that I went through. So, yeah, started going around to schools, and, you know, especially me walking in, I'm 6'3", 300 pounds, covered in tattoos, telling people that I've, you know, had guns put to my head. Kids at 14 years old are going to listen to that, you know. So, yeah, I started doing that, and that's put me on the journey that I've been on for the last almost 4 years now. Then last year, after my divorce that I went to, I came here to Seoul for the first time and reconnected with Paula and Maya, and they set me on this journey that I've been on since last summer. And yeah, just becoming unapologetically myself and listening to what the universe has to say. And, you know, knowing now that when I get into that anger mindset or things get too overwhelming for me because of all that stuff that I've been through in the last couple of years, because I'm still continuing to try to better myself, I'm able to take a step back now and say, this isn't really me. You know, the person that I've been working on becoming for the last few years is who I am. Like I said, unapologetically myself. Yeah, I'm a hugger. I'm a lover. I'm a, you know, I'm not some mean guy that a lot of people see when I first walk through the door, you know. Right. And yeah, so it's just, it's knowing that personally in my own head that that's not who I am anymore. It's never really who I was. It was that persona that I was trying to portray. Mm-hmm. Sorry for such a long answer.
No, but you're good. I think it's beautiful. And I just, like, my heart goes out to you. And I just want to honor you and acknowledge you for all of this that you've been through. Because nobody should ever have to have a gun put to their head or be threatened. And going through that and coming out of that as strong as you are, with more love. And like you said, with hugs and showing up. Because you are this big guy. You're this big dude. You look tough. But it takes so much strength to be that teddy bear, to be like, hey, I know I have been hurt, but I'm working on this and I'm growing. And so I just want to honor you for a moment. I'm like, oh, my heart dropped for you. Like, just send you love. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. we all go through shit. And sometimes we just need someone to say, I love you. Yeah. I see you. Like, oh, I just want to honor you for doing the work and not giving up. You know what I mean? Because there's, like you said, it's like, pull the trigger. Like, I have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, finding something to live for, like that. Oh.
Well, and just that, that being seen is such a huge thing. At least for me, it was, you know, because that's always been my problem is I, you know, I have a lot of self-loathing issues, a lot of body image issues, a lot of anxiety wrapped around who I used to be and who I'm trying to become and that kind of thing. And just that's why I love being here so much is because it's like-minded people. It's people who really, and same thing with the Sacred Sons, you know. I walked in there and they immediately seen the kind of person that I actually am, not just what I look like and the things that I've been through. Right. So being seen by somebody, like truly being seen, is a huge deal for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it came, or like how did it come to allow yourself to start being seen? Do you think there were certain people that you first started to allow and now, you know, do you kind of let everyone in on that or do you still have walls up as far as, you know, the concept of being seen and what you allow people to see about yourself?
I would say that I still have walls up, like in a personal sense. It still is very awkward for me to people, for people to tell me what they see in me. It just makes me feel awkward because I still have, you know, I mean, for... I'm 31 now, and really for 31 years of my life, I have been beating myself down. And so that's a long time to change that mindset. So to have people say that to me still makes me feel extremely awkward. But it's one of those deals that even though it might make me feel awkward for people to say it, I'm at the point now where I will put who I actually am out there to everybody. I'll talk to anybody about what I've been through, the things that I've done. I don't hold anything back because that's who I was, and I'll tell people exactly who I'm becoming. So, you know, sharing about myself isn't really an issue for me, but it's getting the compliments and feedback and stuff still makes me feel extremely awkward that I'm still, and I think that's just, like I said, is because of the mindset that I still have that I'm still trying to fix, and hopefully someday that will be different for me. But, you know, I mean, everybody in my life from my parents, my sister, you know, people who have stuck by my side, you know, people here at Seoul, they've all been telling me for years that they can see who I really am. And it's just me like kind of shying away from it like, ah, nah, there's none of that there, you know, but then I'll come out and I'll tell you my entire story with no problem about it. So it's still just that mental game for myself. Yeah.
The word permission comes to me. It's like allowing yourself that permission to see the feedback that others are, or maybe like the compliments and the light that you hold. And, you know, I know I'm definitely right. Like we're humans. It's hard being human. Like it's hard being human. We got this ego to deal with. We got all this human stuff to deal with and all of our trauma and all of our gunk of like, you know, I just heard the other day, it's like we're a spiritual being having a human experience. So it's like giving yourself permission to be loved, be seen, like, oh, be a human, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's hear some more about your journey since you've this self-discovery, because what I, the word that comes to me when I think of Angus is authentic. And we've had this conversation before, but I love how authentic he is when you are having a conversation. I know that what he is saying to me, there's no bullshit with it. Like, it is who he really is. And I appreciate that so much. It's very meaningful. So I'd like to hear, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about this authentic journey as you rediscover, as you remember who you really are at your essence.
Yeah, you know, it really started for me. I say that I've been working on it for the last almost 4 years, but I would say that it really started, honestly, last summer, the first time that I walked in here, because the mental health help that I was getting, obviously, is going to help to a point. And honestly, I think therapy is something that everybody should go through. I really do. No matter if you think you have issues or not, there's always something that you need to talk about, I feel like. But at that time, and, you know, I'm going to say this with, this is nothing against her whatsoever. I know that I wasn't myself in my marriage either. But I was in a very toxic marriage for seven, almost 8 years. We did not work well together, and we kept trying to make it work. And, so, you know, while I was trying to get help with the mental health side of things, being in that toxic marriage would almost kind of completely get rid of all of that work that I was trying to do. You know, I've been diagnosed with a bunch of different things, you know, whether it was extreme reoccurring depression, and then for a while they thought I was borderline, and then it was bipolar. I spent like 4 days at St. Joe's in their inpatient deal. I've done an outpatient thing up in Kirkland. I did another inpatient deal a couple months ago, but March of 2020, I was up in, it's called the Center in Edmonds for a month, just trying to figure out what was going on. And, you know, at that time I was on 1500 milligrams of lithium a day. And they were just pumping me full of medication because nobody could pinpoint what exactly it was. It just, like, no matter what I did, I was still angry. I was still fighting. I was still, you know, fighting personally and in my marriage. Just, I mean, not just arguments. We're talking like full blown fights kind of deal. And then after we separated, and she's the one who put out there that she thought that that's what we should do. And, you know, at the time, obviously, I was extremely upset about it. But now looking back at it, I'm really glad that she walked away, because I never would have. I'm the kind that I'll stick around and I'll try to fix and fix and fix, even if there's no point in fixing it. And so after we split up, I made it a point that, you know, I had seen people after divorces go to the bar and drown their sorrows away, just jump in bed with the next person that came along. And I made it a point that that's not who I was going to be. I was going to actually work on myself and build myself up for the first time living for me, because that was, my mind was always such a messed up place growing up that I always hated being alone. And so even though, like, every relationship that I've been on or been in has been a toxic relationship up to that point, because even though we didn't get along well, it was still somebody to hang out with, and I didn't have to be alone with my own mind, you know? And so that period after we separated was the first time that I had ever really been alone. So I had to get comfortable with being able to be by myself. And I completely got off of, I weaned myself off of all my medication. I haven't been on anything since like last August. And there's still times where I'm, you know, I have down moments and stuff, but I'm able to work through those moments now because I've gained the tools to be able to work on myself like that. And that journey is not for everybody. Some people do need to be on the medication to even themselves out. And that's completely fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But that wasn't where I wanted to be. All it did for me was dole me out, you know. And so I started, like I've said a couple times, becoming unapologetically myself and coming into soul and, you know, getting more in touch with the spiritual side of things. And Paula, I have you to thank for that, because right when I walked through the door, that's the first thing that you said to me, was that you see something big in me. And just you saying that right there gave me the confidence to dive deeper into this and follow that path more. And the help that getting help with my mental health did have was nothing compared to getting into the spiritual side of life and becoming the person that I'm trying to become still today. And so, you know, I took Lori Ferry's Reiki class last September and have been getting more and more involved with that, and started working on that all like throughout the holidays and that kind of stuff. And then, like I said, January was my first time with Sacred Sons. And when I got home from that, I had another woman walk into my life that from the beginning, we hit it off really well. And, you know, we had a relationship for a few months, and it was the healthiest relationship that either of us have ever. It was the first healthy relationship I have ever been in. And so even though it didn't work out between us, it was nothing like before. There was no anger. There was no hate. There was no fighting. We never got into a fight. There was just, we both knew that there was something there that was missing. We were just on different pages in our life right now. And that happens, you know, but even though we didn't work out together, I still think that we served a huge purpose to each other because I taught her how she needs to be loved and she taught me how I should be loved, and that relationships are supposed to be fun and be healthy and they're supposed to be communication. And so obviously I was sad that that didn't work out, but now I know what I'm looking for when the next person comes along.
Set a new standard.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and while I was in that relationship, like I said, I'm the kind of person that I love extremely hard. And I think that I can try to fix everything. And, you know, while I was in that relationship, as good as it was, I wasn't working on building what I'm trying to build with. I'm one step away from becoming a Reiki master. I'm, you know, in my second level of training to become a facilitator with Sacred Sons. And I wasn't working on that while we were together because I was putting all of my energy into the relationship. And so even though it didn't work out, I know it was for a purpose. And now I can get back to building what I've been trying to build for really my entire life, and eventually that right person will come along again, you know. And so yeah, that's like that's kind of been my journey, especially over the last year, is when things have really started to settle out for me and make sense for me, and just really going, saying yes to whatever the universe throws at me has been the biggest thing for me, for sure, and realizing when the universe is reaching out to me. Mm-hmm.
Can you go more into Reiki? And maybe some people don't know what Reiki is and kind of what that means to you, or what your experience is, and what was your training like with that?
Yeah, so Reiki, and please feel free to jump in if any of you want to and have something to add to it. But for me, Reiki is energy healing. Like, you know, I'm basically a conduit of good energy going into whoever I'm working on and taking their bad energy out. And it's an exchange of energy, I guess, is how I look at it. And trying to be that vessel for that good energy to help with my client's mind, to help with pain wherever they have it in their bodies, you know, helping realign the chakras. And so it's something that I've been practicing. Like I said, I took Lori Ferry's class last September. And, yeah, it's something that I've just recently started to actually offer. Before that, it was just, you know, practicing on family and friends kind of deal. But within the last few weeks, I'm actually starting to offer it here at Soul. And, it's like once I started offering it, and again, I have Paul and Maya to thank for giving me the confidence to do that. Once I started offering it, it's like, okay, I've always felt like I was looking for my purpose in life. And, you know, I've told my mom since I was a little kid that my family owns a concrete business that I was shoveling concrete at since I was 15 years old. And so now being 31, 16 years of shoveling concrete, that's a long time. And, but I can remember being a little kid and being like, you know, not that there's anything wrong with it, but I just felt like I was meant to do something more than shovel concrete. And getting into Reiki and being able to offer that. And, you know, that's kind of what I want to take into when I become an actual facilitator with Sacred Sons. That's what I want to take into being able to offer at retreats and those kind of things too. And, so yeah, it's like I finally found my jump off purpose that's going to lead me into everything else that I'm trying to build.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a good foundation.
Yeah.
For everything else to build upon, the energy work and spirituality.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I'm trying to bring, so Lori's class was very, she teaches shamanic Reiki. So, you know, it's a lot of working with stones and feathers and bringing that aspect into it. And that's what I want to bring into mine also. And I'm actually setting up a trip, hopefully, I'm thinking like around next March, to go to Norway and Sweden, because that's my lineage. My ancestors are Scandinavian. And so I want to go over there and really get in touch with my ancestors and get in touch with that area. And I'm studying on what, you know, Scandinavian and pagan shaman did and brought into their practice. And so those aspects are eventually what I'm going to be bringing into my work also. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love how that's authentic to your family line and your lineage, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's really cool that you're diving deeper into that space of things. What are some of the tools that you use? I'm curious, like when you mentioned, when you go through some of these hard things in your life, like what tools do you use now versus back then that help you? And I'm curious, is Reiki one of those tools? Like, do you do Reiki on yourself, or what are your tools in your spiritual toolbox?
Yeah, you know, doing Reiki on myself is something that I am still trying to get used to doing. And, you know, it's one of those deals that just to get it into practice a lot, I'm trying to Reiki myself. I'm Reiking my food. My dog is getting older, so I'm trying to do Reiki on him too to help him out. And within the last month or so, I've started trying to get deeper in my meditation practice also, which is something that the last partner that I had, she was the one who really brought that to the light for me and really like kind of beat that into my head that, you know, this is what helps me. I bet it will help you also, kind of thing. And my mind has always been such a busy place that it's still something that I'm trying to learn, you know, how to go about doing it in a way that works for me. But I'm a lot better at it now than I was when I first started, for sure. I would say though, the biggest tool for me is, honestly, just getting out and going on a drive, even if it's for just a few minutes, getting away from whatever the situation is, getting out. And music is a huge one for me. And so, you know, you can obviously pair the going for a drive and the music together. And so, yeah, that's a big one for me. You know, I'm in a couple different bands, and my family calls me the musical Rain Man because I just will spit out music facts all the time. It's just, it's something that really has always interested me, and you know, something that I've held really close. So yeah, going on drives, blasting the music, and really, like I said, learning how to just sit with myself and take breaths and realize that, you know, whatever the issue is, it's happening for a reason, and it's going to set me up for whatever the universe thinks is coming next for me. And so just getting that mindset has helped me a lot with overcoming some things, for sure.
Awesome. I'm curious, has your music taste changed since you have found mindfulness and spirituality? Like, do you listen to the same stuff?
My music range has always been all over the place. And that's what I've said in radio interviews and stuff before too, is they ask me like where I get my sound from. And I always say that growing up, I had a great mix because my dad was all, you know, old school country, Waylon, Johnny Cash, that kind of stuff, and blues. And my mom was always Motown and rock. So depending on who I was in the car with, that's what I got to listen to. And so, you know, just depending on what kind of mood I'm in, I might listen to Tupac or I might listen to Conway Twitty. You know, it's there's never really been a set thing for me. And sometimes, you know, when I'm in that angry space, Lamb of God, Ginger, that kind of stuff helps a lot, just to get a little bit of that rage out in a healthy way, not going out and trying to get it out in a different kind of way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really all over the place with what I listen to.
Yeah, I know for me in my journey, I had to cut a lot of music out for my, I think, my own inner dialogue to change. Like, I realized some of the music I was listening to was emphasizing negative self-talk that I didn't even realize, you know? And so I had to, like, cut everything out. And I even had to cut out lyrics for a while where I'm like, because I think I'm similar to you. I have so much going on in my head. So I think I needed to cut all words out. It was like, no radio, no words. I need sounds. I need frequencies. I need something to kind of wipe my slate.
Yeah. So I have been getting into that a lot more too, especially since coming here to Seoul, and a lot more of I love, like, where it's just, you know, flutes and the sound of rain is one that I love a lot.
The lobby music.
Yeah, pretty much. Or, you know, I've gotten trying to get, like, more in touch with my ancestors and stuff. There's a couple really good bands from, like, Norway and Sweden, and, like, Wardruna is amazing, or it's either Heilung or Heilung. I'm not sure how you say it, but they're, like, traditional Scandinavian bands where their instruments are made out of bones and animal hides and that kind of thing. And no idea what they're saying, but it makes me almost homesick in a way. Yeah. Like, it makes me feel like I'm missing something.
You like, know? Remember something from that. Yeah. Oh, that's special.
And so, yeah, that's, I've been getting into that a lot lately, too. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'd like to, I'd like to also touch on, your interest and kind of some conversations that we've had about being empathic and maybe how you've integrated that knowledge because maybe for a lot of your life not realizing why you were feeling so intently. So would you like to share that with us?
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I, looking back at things, I do think that that's a lot of where my pent up aggression and anger came from, because, you know, I can remember things, and I even remember people saying to me, like, this is not that big of a deal. Why are you reacting this strongly, kind of a thing? And, you know, not only being empathic and not knowing it, so taking in all those emotions and feeling from everybody else, but also thinking that I couldn't share my own. So not only am I holding on to my own emotions, I'm holding on to everybody's around me also. And so no wonder I became a ticking time bomb, you know? And that's still something that I'm learning a lot about how to control. Like even in my Reiki practice and stuff, there's some times where if I have, you know, two or three clients right back to back, the next day I'll feel awful. I'll be in my head. I won't want to get out of bed. And I'm still trying to learn really how to perfect letting go of the emotions of others and yeah, setting boundaries and separating myself from the emotions of others. And, but it's also been kind of a cool thing because, you know, there's a lot of, like, again, I'll just bring up my, my last partner. You know, she would always tell me, like, I can't hide anything from you. You can read me like a book, like, you know, and that was a nice thing between us is we actually had really good communication with each other. So we were able to talk about whenever something was going on. But it's kind of cool being like, you know, or I was in a car a couple months ago with my mom and my cousin. And all of a sudden I just had this like anxiety come over me. And instead of thinking that it was me, I actually called it out. And I was like, why don't you just get real anxious for some reason? And it ended up that my cousin got a text that she wasn't expecting. And so it came over her and I was feeling it from her. So it's kind of cool in that way to be able to experience it and be like, hey, I realize that this is going on. If you want to talk about it, know that I can talk about it or you can talk about it with me because I already know that there's something going on with you, so you might as well anyway. You know? So yeah, it's been a big learning curve for sure, but it's so many things from my past are making more sense now, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with being empathic, what are some tools that you use as far as like the word boundary? Do you feel like you've started to, with that text, did you feel like you were holding on to the anxiety from your cousin, or do you feel like you were able to release it, or how, you know, being empathic, how do you handle that? How do you handle being empathic around, you know, humans and taking it in, and do you set boundaries with people, or how do you do that?
With that instance, specifically, since I was able to like call it out, I was able to take it away from me because she came forward and was like, yeah, that's me, kind of a thing. And so it made it a lot easier for me to release that energy, I guess. Being in big crowd, like going to concerts is something that I love to do. But even before, you know, Paula, we had the conversation about me being empathic. For the last couple of years leading up to that point, I wasn't able to go to concerts anymore because it was just weighing on me so heavily. And like I said, it's making a lot of sense now because that's a lot of different people's energies all coming on at one time. So it seems like being able to kind of call that energy out if I'm around people and, you know, having them say, oh, yeah, that is me, has helped me a lot. When I'm around people that don't feel like talking about that, it's a little bit harder for me to let go of. But yeah, I'm still trying to figure out the best way to set boundaries for myself. I use a lot of sage in my house on me each time I'm done with a session, you know, on everything that I use during my session afterwards. And you know, I Paula, that prayer that you gave me last week has been helping a lot.
What was that? Can you share it? Do you recall?
Well, I don't recall the it's one that I admire from Isetti, James Gilliland, and he does a lot of interpersonal or transpersonal work. And so this is one that he utilizes, and it's very simple about calling it basically saying only love and light. We will only accept love and light, and making that pronouncement so that you can't have attachment of negativity, whether it's energetically or just attachments. We'll leave it at that. And so, because he and I have discussed this, I have an issue with boundaries too, being empathic. And I'm still working on it, still working on it. And sometimes I'm successful and sometimes I'm not. And so after having a lovely session with Angus a week and a half ago, we kind of talked about that, about boundaries and how we wanted to work on that. And so I offered that particular prayer out.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Okay.
Yeah, it reminds me of the one that you were sharing about the hand coming out of the water. I think it was in the last interview.
Oh, yeah. It was a meditation that I was doing. And it was, that was a trick I learned from Jen. Basically, it's always stating that only the highest and best of good is allowed here.
Yes.
And it was a meditation. I was like in this boat and all of a sudden this hand came out of the water and I was like, oh, it felt like a mermaid kind of hand. I was vibing. I was in the water. But then I stated only the highest and best of good are allowed here.
Like that card that you picked up.
Oh, like the card I picked today. Yep, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But it was crazy. The second I said, hey, only the highest and best of good are allowed here, the hand just bloop, went right back in the water. And I was like, okay.
Well, now we know where we stand.
Yeah. Like, you weren't my mermaid friend. Like, what? Ariel? Where'd you go?
So I'm curious, this is kind of a little bit off, but while we're on the subject, what are your guys' thoughts about this concept of only the best and the highest of good and the intention of drawing in goodness? And Angus as well, the concept to me of healthy masculinity, of honoring the shadows and honoring what's there. And I'm happy to hear your perspective, but, if any of you guys want to share as well, what's been your experience of merging the two, mm-hmm. of honoring the shadows, but also holding space, to attract only the best and the highest of good? And how can we merge those two together?
Mm. Well, I just want to see full circle back to what Paula was saying about detachment. I feel like, at least with me and my shadow and like what I've dealt with, I feel like not being so attached to the darkness or like these sides of myself, but still knowing that is a part of me. And like, I still love that part of me. And I loved, and I know that that piece of Corinne had to do that to survive. And like, I had to go through that stuff for a reason and like loving that. Instead of trying to like cast it away of shame or guilt, it's like, no, I had to do that to survive. I love my little Corinne and I went through that. And now I can hold space for energy for the highest and best of good. I don't know. I just feel like for me, loving all of it, I feel like the second I was able to love the parts of me I was afraid to admit was when I could then open up more blessings to come in. Because then things I feel like weren't really as bad as they seem to be. I think like kind of how Angus said too, it's like when shit kind of hit the fan, it's like, well, this is happening for me for a reason. So it's like, how can I, grab my spiritual toolbox, handle this adversity, love it, give it some love, give it some attention, right? Honor it, acknowledge it, and then be able to hold space for new, for blessings. That's kind of how I feel about it. But I just wanted to share because you made me think of that with not being too attached to something, because I know in the past maybe I'd be really attached to something I felt guilty about or something, that I did, when it's like, but it's in the past now and like that's not who I am anymore, right? Like I'm implementing all these things now, planting these seeds now to be a better person tomorrow, today, tomorrow, in the future. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah.
What are
your
thoughts on that?
Well, what comes to mind, the first word that comes to mind for me when you ask that is vibration. And I have always loved the validation of science to my spirituality. And so I talk a lot about vibration in my class. I play music that is vibratory, conducive to a meditative state of being so that people can go within. But how I am seeing the vibration with what you're saying is that we know that everything vibrates at different levels. And so there's a great book, and we may have even talked about it, Power Versus Force by David Hawkins. And he was a brilliant scientist, but what he did is he put a spectrum of emotions, energy and motion, and the lowest being guilt or self-loathing or shame. Those are the lowest vibratory. And then up at the top would be bliss, love, gratitude. And so I think whether we are exposed to these ideas and we readily accept them or not, we can relate to the fact that, yes, if I'm feeling gratitude at this moment, how does that physically make me feel? That emotion in my body, how does it make me feel? And if I'm feeling guilt, how does that make me feel, or envy, or, you know, those emotions? And of course we can, that's relatable for us. And so I guess when I come back to the idea of vibration, I and calling in the highest and good, I think that any time that we can be conscious, that we can be aware of how we are interpreting or integrating what is happening for us, and we can make a choice to feel higher or better or higher vibe, then we should enact on that. And so for some of us, that would be prayer, or that would be incantation, declaring, I am only going to accept the highest and best for me at this point. And I think anytime that we project something like that, everything is energy. Science tells us everything is energy. So my words, my intention is an energy. And so I am, in fact, and of course those are really powerful words, anything that follows I am, then it holds a very strong interpretation to the world or connection with the world. And so I just feel like we have choice points all the time. Every second is a choice point. So am I going to choose to feel good or high vibe right now, or am I going to choose a low vibe emotion? And there's times where we do choose those low vibes, and we're accountable for it. But as long as we can be as conscientious as possible to what we are experiencing ourselves and what we're putting out there, then, kudos to us for being conscious beings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feeling it all, right? Because no matter what, it's inevitable to have the low vibes that come up.
As you said, we're humans being.
Exactly. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We're not human doings. Mm-hmm. Human beings.
We're human beings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, as far as your work goes with healthy masculinity, how do you find yourself merging the feminine, what a lot of people would call feminine, honoring emotion, and, merging your masculinity with that, as she's talking about the vibrations? And, I mean, everything can be classified feminine and masculine, the contrast of yin and yang, light and dark. How do you find yourself merging, what we seek through high vibe or only the best and the highest of good, but also really important, the shadow work as well? And what's been your experience with that, and maybe moving forward, like the work that you're drawn into to have that merge between your feminine and masculine, high vibe and shadow work, and what does that feel like for you?
It's honestly something that came a lot easier than I thought it was going to. I like to tell people all the time that I feel like I'm a tougher person now than I ever was then, because I think that being able to communicate and really show my feelings and really show who I am, I think that's a much more manly thing to be able to do than to bottle everything away and be angry and be violent. And so, you know, it really came from, you know, you say like honoring my shadow work and stuff. It's, I guess I had to kind of accept the person that I used to be and know that I wasn't this awful human being that I always convinced myself I was. I was a lost human being. You know, I didn't know that I could talk to anybody. I didn't necessarily have anybody that I felt like I could really talk to in depth about anything, because, you know, and my family is an incredible family, nothing against them whatsoever. But, you know, growing up, my dad and my sister both had so many health problems that I was kind of put on the back burner. And so because they were always having to deal with these things for each other, and my mom was having to help them out with all the situations they were going through, I was kind of left to, I guess, fend for myself in a way, especially, you know, because, especially emotionally, I guess, because one, I have that brick wall mentality, and two, I'm not the kind of person that, I don't like feeling like I'm complaining, which back then, that's how I looked at it. Whenever I would talk about my feelings and emotions, was like I was complaining. And since they were already all dealing with as much as they were, I didn't want to throw more onto their plate. And so I really was just lost. I wasn't some awful person, you know. And so being able to accept that and see that, and, you know, I really think that that was all the universe building me up for what I am so very close to becoming. Because I feel like, you know, and we'll use the talks that I was doing at the local high schools and stuff as an example. You know, I would have teachers tell me that they've had, you know, therapists and psychologists and stuff come in that the students wouldn't react to the way that they reacted to me. It's almost like it was Charlie Brown's mom talking to them, you know? But then I come in there and I'm authentic with them. I tell them what I've been through, the way that I look, all that kind of stuff. And people will listen, you know? And I think that it's, people are more likely to listen to somebody who has been to the bottom and built themselves back up than somebody who hasn't really had to go through too terribly much in their life. And so I think that that's why I had to go through everything that I went through, is because I'm right on the verge of exploding into everything that I've always wanted to be. So yeah, it's been just a lot of accepting that I wasn't a bad person. I was just lost. And like I said, I think that being able to communicate and really show my feelings makes me a tougher, more manly person than I ever was as that emotionless brick wall. But at the same time, I still like to get out and do things that you would consider masculine, I guess. You know, I'm a member of a motorcycle club. I'm a front man in a heavy metal band. I lift almost every day. And there is some of those parts of me that are still very much there. You know, just because I'm able to share more now doesn't mean that I still don't look at myself sometimes as, you know, there is a lot of times where I want to completely shut off, and I have to be able to work through that. And, you know, at the same time though, it's being a man to me, it's more about just being who you really are, being your authentic self, taking care of your family, taking care of your friends, loving your friends and family. It doesn't have to be that beating your chest kind of bullshit to be macho and manly.
Mm-hmm. Did you say like toxic masculinity? That's like, what's your experience with toxic masculinity, oh, right? Like, is that like beating your chest? Like, bah, nothing hurts me.
Yeah.
You know, like.
You know, I never was the kind of, you know, and talking about all this stuff, I feel like a lot of times people think that I was a bully when I was younger, and that's never who I was or how it was. Most of the fights that I've been in have been sticking up for other people a lot of times. But you know, I do have, and I feel so weird saying this because I feel like I'm talking myself up, and that's not what I'm trying to do, but
King. I know, yeah. We see you.
But like,
we see
you. But I do have a way of walking around and carrying myself that I feel like I command respect just to who I am.
Totally.
And so it was more of, I almost fed off that respect for a lot of my life, and that feeling of people almost being afraid of me kind of thing. When I was younger, I liked that because I thought that's what being a man was.
Like a sense of power.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I thought that's what being a man was. You know, like I said, I didn't share anything. I walked around with this respect or, you know, confidence about myself. But inside, I have the least confidence out of anybody that I know, you know, but I'm able to portray it outside. Or at least that's how I was then. And so it was never like I went out looking for fights or anything like that. But I didn't think that I could ask for help. I you know, playing sports and that kind of stuff. I mean, you have that mindset of because you're a man, you have to play through everything or you should be able to do everything. I played for, I think, almost 3 months on a broken femur playing football in high school. You know, my senior year of high school, I broke my femur. I tore both rotator cuffs. I broke one hand all the way through and played the entire season while just getting shot up with cortisone in the locker room before games. You know, and working down at the concrete plant and just thinking that I could pick up a couple hundred pounds of concrete instead of getting the fucking dolly that was sitting right there to help me do it. You know, just because that's the mentality that I had. And now at 31 years old, I get out of a chair like I'm 80 because of it, you know? Yeah. Yeah, so it was, and that's one of the first lessons that I remember my dad teaching me when I was younger, is that he said that, you know, basically the scariest guy in the room is the quietest guy in the room. And I think that he was teaching me that on how not to be like a mean, intimidating person, but more on how to be able to command that respect without having to run my mouth.
Yeah.
And being able to deal with things when, you know, when hardships came up, being able to deal with them by myself instead of having to reach out for help to do it. The downfall was, is that I took that to the extreme. And that's was me becoming that emotionless brick wall that eventually made me angry and violent. And so it was never about going out there and running my mouth and beating my chest and everything. It's just, that was the mentality that I had, was that you didn't ask for anything. And I guess that's where the toxic masculinity took over for me, is that I felt like I couldn't ask for help. Or if I did say like, hey, I think that I have depression or anything like that, I thought that my friends around me would take it as weakness. Instead of like, hey, you're talking about that. That's the first step to getting better, you know? And so it's so ingrained into us as men in this society that that's the way that you're supposed to be, that mental health is looked down on, that sharing your feelings is looked down on, that you have to be that chest beating kind of guy to be able to call yourself an alpha male. And that is such horseshit. It really is. Like I keep saying, I'm so much stronger now than I ever was then, for sure.
Yes. So would that be your biggest piece of advice to little Angus or the other men out there who are hurting? I just noticed you named some key points. Like, of course, asking for help is huge. I'm just thinking, if you could like give yourself advice too, what would you go back and say?
Yeah, I guess that would be the biggest part of it, would just be that it doesn't make you any less of a man to say that you need help. It makes you more of a man. In the long run, you'll see that. And if your friends can't see that and see who you're becoming and why you want to become that, well, then they're not really your friends to begin with. You know, and going on this journey that I've been on, there have been some people that I kind of feel like have fallen away from me. And again, nothing against them whatsoever. They're great people. They're great friends. But I'm looking to, you know, I'm starting to be surrounded with more like-minded people and people who understand what I'm trying to do and what I'm going through. And, so it really is just being unapologetically yourself. It's really the key to everything, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Not caring what other people are going to think about you, which is still a really hard thing for me to do sometimes. But for me anyway, that just don't care. That's probably actually the biggest thing that I would go back and tell myself, is just don't worry about what other people think, because the only thing that matters is what I think about myself.
Yes, so much power. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, well, really quick.
So moving forward, how do you feel you're on your path with Sacred Sons and just with Angus as a whole? I know we had talked about maybe some upcoming events. Can you just share? Now you're offering Reiki. Can you share now where you're at as far as offering, or you know, if people are curious to connect or be with you, to spend more time with you and learn more from you? What do you have going on?
I'm starting to take clients here at Soul, running my practice here with you guys, which has been incredible, and thank you so much for allowing me to do that. I have an Instagram that's AW Reiki, same thing on Facebook. My email is AngusWolfReiki@yahoo.com, so you can reach out to me on any one of those. And yeah, it's just it's just going to kind of be just continuing to go with whatever the universe is throwing at me. I'm able to practice now, but I am wanting to become an actual Reiki master, which I think I'm going to be working with Lori a little bit on that, and with Shauna Mama Fish. I'm going to be working with her, and I'm going to be starting to do drum circles with her, and I'm going to take her drum building workshop. So that's going to be great. And yeah, I'm becoming a master at that, and, you know, taking that trip over to Sweden and Norway to be able to bring those Scandinavian and pagan aspects into my work. And with Sacred Sons, I am doing my my level 2 training. I think will be done in August with the leadership training course in Colorado. And then I think I have one more section after that. So I'm already able to go to their retreats and kind of co-facilitate, help out a little bit, but I'm still being there as more of somebody who is going through the retreat, and I'll just kind of help when they need it type of deal. My level 2 training will allow me to go deeper into being able to help with shadow work and being able to really be there for the other men that are there, like become more of a facilitator role. And then I think there's one more level of training that I'll have to go through before I can legitimately call myself a Sacred Sons facilitator. But I'm also going to start working with their youth program, and that came about in a really cool way down in Maui. I was talking to one of the other guys that was down there and telling him about, you know, my talks at high schools and how I, like, my dream someday is to run my own retreat that really caters to like 13 and 14 to 17, 18 in that age range. Because like I said, you know, if somebody would have gotten a hold of me and seen that there was something going on when I was around that age, then it could have potentially stopped me from having to go through so many of the things that I did. And so I was telling him about how that's my ultimate goal. And he was a level 2 trainee at that point, and then he went up a level after Maui. But he is, the next day, he's the one that facilitated my shadow work. And so at the end of my shadow work, while I was still in the circle, he asked me to kind of, he was like, you know, I've known you for less than 24 hours and I wouldn't trust my kids to you, kind of thing, to be able to watch them. Cause he was like, that's how much I see in you. And so I kind of elaborated on what he was talking about and told the whole circle about it. And it just so happened that the guy who runs the Sacred Sons youth program, that was the first thing that he had been able to attend in over a year and a half, was that trip to Maui, and he just happened to be there. And so, yeah, after that, you know, obviously we were introduced to each other more in depth after that. And I just talked to him a couple days ago, and hopefully in mid-July-ish is when he's thinking that training will get started for the next round of facilitators for the youth program. So I'm going to be doing that too. And I just got a call right before we started recording this, that one of the Sacred Sons facilitators wants me to help him, or, you know, work with him and kind of help him build up in a way a new retreat that's going to be hopefully going on. So just to even be offered that was something incredible. And so, yeah, it's going to be a lot of work. But like I said, I think that I'm right on the verge of becoming everything that I always thought that I was going to be. And that's all that I've ever wanted was, you know, I can read all, like I said, when I was a kid saying that I felt like I was meant to do something bigger than shoveling concrete. I can also remember telling my ex-wife at times that, like, when the band was kind of first getting going and hoping, obviously, as every musician does, that you're going to make it big in music, you know. But I was telling her that I didn't want it for the fame or the money or anything. I wanted to make it big in music because I wanted people to know my name and I wanted to be able to make a difference. That was my whole goal with music, was to be able to help people and to make a difference through my music. And even though it's not what I thought it was going to be in, I really think that this is coming up is what I've been being pointed towards my entire life. And I'm going to be able to make that difference, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. And you definitely already are. Mm-hmm. So I just want to honor you with all the work and the loving service you've been doing and holding space for this healing. So where can my family and all of these men and boys in the area, where can they find you? Are you going to do local men's circles around here, empowerment circles, stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm hoping to be able to start offering more than just Reiki here at Soul. Eventually, you know, I'm wanting to start being able to offer meditation and breathwork classes. And again, hopefully the fact that somebody like me is the ones running it, it will make men feel more comfortable to come in and be able to hold that space with me and with each other. Because, you know, I was in a meditation class probably 6 or 7 months ago now. And it was this mom brought her like 12, 13-year-old son in. And even though I was in there, I could still tell that he felt really uncomfortable being in there. And he didn't feel like he could share. He didn't really want to be a part of it. He was still there, though. I mean, yeah. I'll give him credit that he sat through the entire class. But I want to make it so that men and young men feel more comfortable to start coming to things like that, which I'm hoping will turn into being able to run circles. And, you know, obviously, I would love it for it to be able to hold like actual men's circles, but I also want it to be open to anybody that wants to come, because I feel like having that communication between men and women is a huge thing. So, you know, yeah, I'm hoping to start doing those kind of things here at Soul before not too terribly long. And once I build my name up a little bit more, I want to start building my own retreats, both on my own. And once I'm done with my Sacred Sons training, I'll be able to start running retreats through the Sacred Sons name, which obviously will be huge because they're starting to go global. Like they're opening up retreats in Europe and Africa, and which really hoping that I'm going to get to go work at those someday. But you know, so being able to say that this is being run by me through Sacred Sons and bringing up all those facilitators that I feel like I want to hire for those events and that kind of thing it's going to be huge. I'm really hoping to keep that here in Washington. I love Washington. I don't think you're going to find a more beautiful state personally. but yeah, I really want to be able to keep that local and really have it be my thing up here and have people know that this is Angus's world up here in Washington. You know, that's what I'm hoping eventually someday.
Yeah. Well, I think it's beautiful. You're planting the seed and you're expanding, you know, whether it is here in Washington or in the other states, other countries. I think that's just so powerful that, you know, people are waking up and we're healing and we're stepping into our power by being vulnerable, being emotional. And like you said, I mean, that emotion of vulnerability really shows so much strength, being able to communicate and show up with that open heart, you know. So I just want to honor you for doing this work.
Well, you know, and like we've talked about before, I honestly think that COVID, as awful as it was in a lot of ways, I think that that's why all of this is becoming such, being more spiritual and being more in tune with yourself is becoming as big of a deal as it is because we were really forced to sit back and look at ourselves and our situation. And it made, because you couldn't go anywhere else, it made people get back to being outside and being in nature. And so as awful as it was in a lot of ways, I feel like there's a lot of good that came out of the last year and a half too.
I agree. big blessing in disguise, that's for sure. And it's all about how you choose to view things, right? Right. Either the glass is half full or it's half empty. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how are we choosing to show up? What's our choice, you know?
Choice point.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Angus, for sharing your heart. And just to kind of reiterate, so people can find you on Instagram.
Yep.
And I know your last name is Wolf, but it has an E at the end.
Yes, it does.
So maybe you can spell it. Yeah. I want to make sure everyone can find you.
Yeah. So on Instagram and Facebook, it's just the initials AW Reiki on both of those.
Okay.
And then, yeah, my email is Angus Wolf, and yeah, it's WOLFE, Angus Wolf Reiki at yahoo.com. So, yeah, reach out to any of me or any of those. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting in touch and seeing how I can help everybody. And yes. Yeah, thank you very much for this. Is the first podcast I've ever gotten to be on. So, yay. This is awesome. Yeah, thank you.
The first
you for
of many.
Me.
Yeah, totally. Yes, and now
you guys can say, oh man, I remember when Angus was, you know, and now look at him.
Exactly. This will be beautiful. Paperwork? That's not the right word I want to use, but
your resume.
And just like, it's beautiful to like see footage, like when you get content, you know, it's kind of cool in this new age how we do gather content through podcasts, through social media, through things, and then going, being able to look back at it and seeing the journey grow and, you know, so, and just for all the listeners out there too, if you're local, please come into Soul Health Yoga. You can book a Reiki session with Angus, get to chat with him, get to know him. And of course, check out all the other amazing, you know, array of products and services and offers and so people. There's so much more than just yoga. This has really been the biggest gateway, I feel like, to a lot of people, to a lot of dharmas, a lot of people's purpose in life. I know definitely you guys, for me, have been that kind of gateway. And, you know, I see it for Angus here and all these amazing, amazing souls I've met here in this space. So thank you guys for creating this.
Thank you for co-creating it.
Yes! Thank you for being birthed. Thank you for, like, being alive. We love you guys. And is there anything, any last bits of wisdom you want to leave with the amazing souls listening?
Well, here's to discovering and remembering our potential, our infinite potential. And this has been delightful to be in this space with all of you. But when I watch Angus as he is, you know, expressing himself again so authentically, and I see the glimmer in his eyes, mm-hmm. and the smile on his face and how authentic it is, it really warms my heart, because it's another example of someone as they are truly remembering their potential and realizing it, you know, making that realization. So thank you for that.
It's beautiful to witness.
Yeah, thank you. And as you say, let's grow together.
Yay, let's grow and show up with more compassion. I love you. Okay, we love you guys. We'll see you soon. If you enjoyed this episode today, please share it with someone that you love. Reach out, subscribe, leave a review. It really helps me out a lot. All donations are always welcomed. I'm so grateful for this community and for all of you listeners. You can always reach out to me on Instagram at Celestial Goddess Podcast. You can also reach out to my personal Instagram, which is just Celestial_Goddess with 3 S's. I love you guys so much, and you know, I couldn't do it without you. So I'll see you next time.